Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Autumn's Magical Pact by Leanne Edwards. Narrated by Gemma Dawson. Chapter 1. Medieval Wessex. The torturous ache in Rhiannon's heart was nearly unbearable. It even hurt to breathe. She watched the wooden coffin lowered into the ground and began to softly sob. Knowing she'd never see her mother's lovely face or hear her voice again was unimaginable. Her father draped a comforting arm around her shoulder. He was suffering his own misery, his compounded with discernible guilt for Rhiannon's mother, Meriad, died in childbed. Rhiannon no longer listened to the priest. Instead, she watched a red squirrel scamper up a nearby tree. She smiled inwardly at the unruly tufts of hair by its ears. Her gaze then followed a flock of starlings, creating their unique formations in the sky. Rhiannon longed to soar like those birds, or at least feel as carefree as she had only days ago. She didn't want to hear of souls, heaven or hell. She only wanted her mother. Mariad had been strong, healthy and vivacious, but she'd been cursed with the cruel fate so many women met. As a healer, Mariad often assisted with midwifery. Rhiannon sometimes accompanied her. Far too often, they'd seen women die in childbed or soon after. Yet always bright and optimistic, Mariad hadn't feared that. She said death was merely part of life, that a person lived as long as they were meant to, and people should rejoice in all the days they were given and not dwell on the duration. Mariad also believed life here was only part of a soul's eternal journey. Rhiannon yearned to possess more of her mother's faith and positivity. Although she adored children, Rhiannon had already decided she'd never want babies. In fact, she swore she'd never lie with a man if she might meet the dismal fate of dying in childbed. She'd voiced that to her mother only weeks ago. Mariad encouraged her to speak to her and never judged Rhiannon's thoughts or feelings. She only assured her that she'd change her mind. When she was of an age to fall in love or experience physical longings, she would desire to lie with a man, for it was perfectly natural to want that. She said besides the intrinsic pleasure, it brought joy and comfort. But now, Rhiannon's mind was firm. She most certainly would not share intimacies in a man's bed.
"Time to go, daughter," her father's voice pulled her from her musings.
Rhiannon nodded. The grave attendants began to shovel dirt on the coffin. The other people here walked away. Rhiannon glanced across the cemetery to see the priest had gone to the next burial, Elspeth Jory's mother. Elspeth wasn't exactly Rhiannon's friend. In truth, they were at odds more than they agreed, but she was an acquaintance near her age, and Rhiannon enjoyed their lively conversations. Elspeth, her parents and siblings were castle servants, as their parents had been and theirs for generations. Elspeth's father was a groundskeeper. Elspeth and her mother, Nora, cleaned the king's and his family's chambers. Nora had recently died of childbed fever. Elspeth's newborn brother was living with her eldest brother and his wife. Her father worked long hours, and men were seldom responsible for an infant's care.
"I'd like to stay a while longer, father," Rhiannon said.
He looked like he didn't fully approve, but he didn't protest. William Albrey was kind-hearted and soft-spoken. Although he loved her without question, he'd find it difficult parenting his strong-willed daughter without her mother.
"Don't be long, Rhiannon. You shouldn't be out after dark, and there'll be people coming by to pay their respects."
"I'll be home before sunset, father, I promise."
She affectionately touched his cheek. He smiled, but it didn't mask his grief. He deeply loved his Welshland beauty, as he often referred to Rhiannon's black-haired, blue-eyed mother. The grave now filled, the gravediggers went to stand by the crowd near Elspeth's family, waiting to complete the grim task there too. Elspeth had 4 older brothers, all married. She had 3 younger brothers, several nephews, and now her new baby brother. She'd undoubtedly miss her mother, even though Elspeth hadn't been close with Nora, not like Rhiannon and Meriad, but her father wouldn't be her only family. Finally alone, Rhiannon lowered herself to the ground and wept unrestrainedly.
"Oh, ma'am, how am I to live without you?"
Rhiannon whispered, half expecting to hear her mother reply with her unfaltering, gentle wisdom. Instead, she only heard the monotone voice of the priest saying the same words he'd said at her mother's grave. Rhiannon looked beyond this churchyard to another, the cemetery for paupers or outcasts. She espied Selina, the girl most mothers wouldn't have permitted their daughters to befriend. However, Rhiannon's beautiful mother hadn't been like most. Meriad accepted everyone and inspired Rhiannon to do the same. Therefore, Rhiannon had befriended Selina when they were small girls. Though she didn't see her often, she was Rhiannon's best friend. Only a handful of women stood with Selina while her mother, Beatrice, was buried. No priest spoke or prayed for her. In the church's opinion, Selina's mother's soul was already damned. There was no great crowd of mourners as her mother, Meriad, the respected healer, had drawn, or Elspeth's mother, with many castle servants in attendance. There was only the other harlots, as Selina's mother had been. Beatrice hadn't died in childbed, but at the hands of one of the men who paid her for what was done within a bed. Meriad hadn't hidden those truths from Rhiannon, even though her father hadn't agreed and he seldom voiced his disapproval of anything her mother did. William hoped to shelter Rhiannon. Meriad reasoned since their daughter, now 14, had recently experienced her first womanly bleeding, she'd benefit more from her being straightforward even regarding matters such as physical relations in order to prepare her for life. Unfortunately, she hadn't prepared Rhiannon for living without her. Selina morosely sobbed, too. Previously, she'd been comforted by the other women, but they'd left her. Elspeth also stood alone at her mother's grave now. Elspeth was 13, Selina only 12, all young to be motherless. Rhiannon went to Elspeth, only a stone's throw away.
"I'm sorry for the loss of your mother," Rhiannon said, as Elspeth quickly wiped away her tears. She was a strong girl, in appearance and countenance, tall and sturdily built, with somewhat sharp features, her blonde hair pulled back from her face and neatly plaited. She took pride in appearing stoic. This sometimes made her seem abrupt, unlikable, almost cold-hearted, but intuitively gifted. Like Meriad, Rhiannon was able to see what others couldn't. Elspeth wasn't as cantankerous as her gruff demeanour suggested. She simply seldom allowed her tender, vulnerable side to be seen.
"And are yours," Elspeth finally replied.
"Thank you,"
Rhiannon tucked her light brown hair behind her ear.
"I'm going to comfort Selina now."
"You can't be seen with her," Elspeth scowled. "She's the daughter of a sordid woman."
"I don't need your approval to do what I like, Elspeth Jory."
"When my own mother first came to Wessex, she was treated unkindly simply because she was from Cymru."
"She didn't choose to be from Welshland," Elspeth retorted.
Like that, too, was not something anyone would want to be.
"Do you actually believe Selina's mother chose to do what she did? It was surely out of necessity."
"I'd be a beggar before I'd ever be a whore," Elspeth haughtily replied.
"A whore sleeps in a warm bed and is fed regularly, 2 meals a day from what I've heard,"
Rhiannon said, even knowing it would antagonise the other girl.
"Carnal heat of the flesh within that warm bed got Selina's mother killed," Elspeth said.
Elspeth knew more on the topic of coupling than most girls her age, for she lived in the castle's servants' quarters. Loads of scandalous happenings occurred there, as well as the usual amount of gossip regarding those events.
Was it not similar heat within a warm bed that saw our own mothers dead? Rhiannon dared to say. With a man to whom they were wed, Elspeth crossed her arms.
That doesn't change the sad truth. They all lie in a grave now, Rhiannon said.
You're contemptible, Rhiannon Albrey. Our mothers will be in heaven. Hers will not.
If you wish to believe that, so be it. My hope is that they're all somewhere better, with no sorrow, pain, or fear. Whether it's truly heaven, I doubt even the priests know, and clearly not all priests will find out with their sometimes reprehensible behaviour. Now I am going to Selina, for she didn't choose her mother, or how she lived or died, any more than you or I. Rhiannon lifted her mud-caked skirts and made her way across the uneven, soggy ground. Although often rainy here, today the steady drizzle added to her heavy heart and the solemn dreariness in the graveyard. She climbed the fence at the edge of the cemetery, snagging her best kirtle, and cussed under her breath, thinking a grieving daughter probably shouldn't cuss. This bleak cemetery had only remedial wooden crosses tied together with rope or twine. Few names were carved, for most low-born couldn't read or write. Some graves bore small, unmarked stones, unlike the graveyard where Meriad and Nora now rested with stone crosses and markers painstakingly etched. If families were illiterate, they honoured their loved ones, often even sold their possessions to pay someone to immortalise their names upon the headstones. Selina, the gentlest person Rhiannon knew, wept even harder in seeing Rhiannon. She went to Selina and held her close. Meriad always said, if you were embracing someone, make it worthwhile. Hold them tightly, whether in joy or sorrow. Either way, you'd both benefit. Selina's sobs racked her slight frame. Rhiannon wept with her and brushed a red curl from her thin, pallid face. When Elspeth joined them, her closely guarded tears escaped. Her hard exterior shattered in seeing Selina's deep grief.
My condolences in the loss of your mother, Elspeth managed.
Thank you, Selina sniffled. My heart aches for both of you, too.
She still trembled, clinging to Rhiannon.
Where will you stay now? Rhiannon asked, concerned.
I must remain at the house on the edge of the village where I was born and I've always lived. The women there are all I have now.
But won't you be expected to, you know, do what women do in that house of ill repute? Elspeth asked.
Elspeth, Rhiannon scolded.
It's all right, Rhiannon, Selina said. Everyone knows that's what will eventually become of me, though likely not for a while. Thankfully, Shandy doesn't permit children to be used by men.
Perhaps you could come live with Father and me, Rhiannon suggested.
Your father wouldn't agree. Your cottage is small, and I'd be another mouth to feed when times are hard. Besides, men want my kind for only one thing.
Father's not like that, Rhiannon disagreed.
Most men are like that, Elspeth said. Now your father's alone, he'll probably be sneaking down the back lane to that disorderly house like many others.
Rhiannon threw a pointed stare at Elspeth, but mournful weeping effectively disrupted their conversation. It came from the Treed Cemetery up the hill near the castle. It was the churchyard reserved for nobles, lords and ladies, kings and queens, and their families. The girls looked at each other, then walked up the hill and peered through the trees.
It's the princess, Selina whispered.
Her mother, the queen's, died too, Elspeth added.
I heard that even though she was heavy with child herself, your mother was called to attend the queen when her physicians and her midwife couldn't assist her, Selina said to Rhiannon.
Rhiannon nodded.
That's true. Sadly, the queen and her babe were already lost by the time Mam got there.
It's just as well. Elspeth looked serious, or she might have been flogged for not saving them. The king's physician was lashed and thrown in the dungeon. The midwife's forever banished, or so it's been said.
Castle gossip's not always reliable, Rhiannon shook her head.
There's usually some truth to every rumour, Elspeth said.
I don't believe that, Rhiannon replied. Does the cook spit in the broth when he's in a particularly foul mood?
Elspeth actually laughed at that. Selina and Rhiannon smiled too. It felt good to smile. She hadn't in the days since her mother died, though it brought guilt too.
I've never seen it, but it might be true, Elspeth replied. I certainly don't eat the broth, just to be safe.
Why is the princess unattended? Selina asked. I thought she wasn't permitted to be alone or do anything on her own, even wipe her own backside.
It is odd she's without her lady attendant, Elspeth nodded. The king's probably already off finding another wife to provide him with a male heir.
What are you doing?
Elspeth asked as Rhiannon pushed away the thick branches, intending to climb the iron fence.
Going to offer condolences for the princess's loss, too.
You cannot,
Elspeth said. Elspeth's bossiness irritated Rhiannon, especially today when her emotions were already raw.
Why do you presume you can tell me what I can do? You should know that only spurs me on, Rhiannon replied.
When Rhiannon did climb the fence and walk toward the princess, she saw three knights by the gate. They all stared but one. Sir Severin was a friend of her father's. Therefore, he nodded to Rhiannon as she approached the princess. This cemetery had elaborately fashioned gravestones, tall crosses, huge ornate monuments, some nearly as large as the immense sunstones on the open plain near their village. Princess Liliana looked up. Through her fine veil, Rhiannon saw her dark brown eyes were red and swollen. She was attired in rich black robes and cloak. Usually she was seen in stunning golds, reds or purples. Her pitch-black hair was fashioned in a knotted braid wrapped elaborately about her head.
"I doubt you know who I am," Rhiannon began.
"I know you," Princess Liliana said, lifting the veil. "Your father sometimes advises mine, and your lovely mother was a renowned healer. I'm sorry to hear she was taken to the Lord in the same manner as mine, and that both babies were lost. I did so long for a sibling. Being an only child is very lonely." "I feel that too. I'm sorry for the loss of your mother, our queen. She was kind to me whenever I saw her when with my mother."
"She truly liked your mother, Rhiannon," Princess Liliana said. "I believe she considered her a friend. She requested her presence much earlier during her lengthy womanly ordeal. Yet father wouldn't have her fetched. Instead, he listened to his inept physician, the old male healer and the midwife. If he'd permitted your mother to see mine earlier, perhaps..." She stoically raised her pointed chin and sniffled.
Elspeth and Selina approached now too. Selina curtsied to the princess. Elspeth only nodded.
"We've all lost our mothers, all laid to rest this day," Rhiannon said. "In my mind, that forever binds us."
Rhiannon noticed the displeased expression on Elspeth's face. She resented the king and his family. Most in Elspeth's family were honoured in a life of servitude, but not Elspeth. She was ashamed of her position and loathed her duties.
"It's a grievous pain that cannot be remedied," Princess Liliana finally replied. "I was sorely saddened to hear of your losses also."
"I didn't think you'd know anything about us, or that our mothers died," Elspeth said.
"I insist that Agnes, my lady attendant, tell me all the news about the kingdom."
Rhiannon saw the knights looking their way. They'd soon be made to part. The princess wasn't allowed friends, certainly not common-born.
"We should meet again, for we'll understand each other's pain," Rhiannon said. "No matter our positions or circumstances, our mothers will be greatly missed and will surely crave female companionship. None of us have sisters either."
"I doubt that'll happen," Elspeth argued. "She wouldn't dare risk being seen with the likes of us," Elspeth motioned to the princess.
"You wouldn't ordinarily be seen with the likes of me,"
Selina looked somewhat accusingly at Elspeth.
"You'd never have come to speak with me if Rhiannon hadn't, nor would either of us approach the princess if not for Rhiannon."
"Call me Liliana," the princess whispered so the knights wouldn't hear.
That'd see us taken to the dungeon straight away, Elspeth scoffed.
When alone, we'll be equals, and I hope one day, close friends.
Liliana ignored Elspeth's comment. You needn't address me by my title. We'll all simply be grieving daughters. Although it's difficult for me to get away from the castle, I'll persuade Agnes to let me walk here to the cemetery, perhaps on this date each moon.
I'd like that, Rhiannon said. I hope we can arrange it.
The gossipmongers would surely find out, Elspeth replied.
How can they begrudge us time in the graveyard, honouring our beloved mothers? Rhiannon said.
They can't, Selina shook her head.
Then let's swear to it, Rhiannon held out her hand.
Swear to being friends with a princess? Elspeth dubiously asked.
She's willing to be friends with someone who'll one day surely be a harlot, Selina said.
I have no friends other than my lady attendant, Liliana sadly admitted. Please agree to this.
Elspeth shrugged and stared hard at the princess.
We all need friends, Rhiannon said.
We do.
Eagerly, Selina placed her hand atop Rhiannon's. Liliana didn't hesitate but added hers too. Elspeth still looked uncertain, but finally put her hand on the princess's hand.
We're forever bound, Rhiannon whispered. We're forever bound, the others repeated as the knights approached.
Time to go back to the castle, princess, Sir Severin said, and the four girls nodded, each returning to their homes.
Chapter 2. 5 years later. Selina, Elspeth, and Rhiannon browsed the noisy, bustling village market. The mingled aromas here ranged from the enticing scents of savoury and sweet pies and roasted wild game sold by the vendors to the earthy smell of horses and sheep. On the breeze was the fragrance of flocks from the nearby meadow. A juggler, attired in colourful garments, skillfully tossed about several apples, entertaining the crowd. Lively music was being played. One man recited poetry. Two others comically danced while those watching laughed. A pantomime was presently delighting the village children. The sun was shining, the sky was bright blue with puffy white clouds, and Rhiannon breathed deeply, enjoying the typical contagious merriment of the market. The women observed items offered by the locals, vegetables, delicious baked wares, fresh cream and honey. There were also merchants who travelled a distance or from far-off shores. They sold cups and dishes, pots and furs, and ready-made garments, but also various weapons, gold and precious jewels, spices, luxury textiles, sometimes even expensive silk or exotic animals. Elspeth's voice disrupted Rhiannon's present enjoyment by going back to their contentious conversation.
You can't simply decide you'll never be married, Rhiannon, no matter how bloody stubborn you are. Elspeth said.
Me? Stubborn? Rhiannon exclaimed, staring at her headstrong friend. If father continues to request I remain living with him to cook and care for him, I pray it'll prevent me from a forced marriage. Besides, why would I even want to be married?
You should let someone take care of you for a change, Selina said. You're beautiful, Rhiannon, and desired by many men.
Rhiannon only shook her head as the three friends continued browsing. Occasionally, they picked up items to appease the glares of the vendors, for they seldom bought anything. Selina had no coin. Everything she required was provided by Shandy and Fletter, the women who owned the brothel where Selina remained living. Elspeth was paid a monthly pittance for being in the king's employ. Elspeth lived with her father and younger brothers in the castle's servants' quarters. Servants wore matching attire and ate most meals at the castle, both provided by the king. Rhiannon's ample garden at the cottage ensured she didn't need to buy vegetables. She bartered for other items required in her healing. The meagre coin she occasionally earned was used to purchase herbs and spices, not found here to create more remedies. Being able to assist the ailing or wounded was exceedingly important, and it was what gave her purpose. Your father's fallen out of favour with the king since his magical spells haven't ensured the king has produced a male heir, so it's doubtful he'll grant him further requests, Elspeth said. If I'm being truthful, your father's become more peculiar. His mind isn't as it should be. Father is a gifted mage. True, he's a bit eccentric and forgetful, but I won't be forced to wed simply because men of power decide I'm of an age to marry and carry children, Rionwyn argued. King Thaddeus wants his kingdom to expand and flourish, Selina said. Because women continue to birth numerous children doesn't indicate the kingdom is flourishing, not when many go hungry, Rionwyn shook her head. I'd give anything to be wed and have many children, Selina admitted. Your mother didn't die in childbed, therefore that mightn't deter you as it does Rionwyn and me, Elspeth said. I'd rather she had, Selina declared with uncommon determination, then lowered her voice. At least your mothers weren't murdered and you won't be forced to become a harlot. I've told you, Selina, that doesn't have to be your fate, Rionwyn countered. I'm deeply indebted to Shandy and Fletta. They've given me a place to stay and food these years since my mother died. Soon they expect me to begin paying them back.
By spending years flat on your back, came Elspeth's sardonic reply. Rionwyn threw her a look of reproach.
Perhaps I could call in debts beholden to me for my healing and pay Shandy what she feels is owed to her, Rionwyn suggested. If not, maybe you and I can go far away from this village.
You daren't cross Shandy, Rionwyn. She's ruthless and frightens me to the core, Selina said, her voice trembling. Those who oppose her often come to harm, sometimes even disappear.
Rionwyn stared at Selina worriedly. She'd heard those disturbing rumours, but hoped those women longed to abandon the disreputable life and simply left the brothel.
The draughty loft where you sleep and the measly amount of food you eat surely didn't put Shandy out much,
Elspeth said. Maybe you can find a man to wed you, Selina. Someone who'd pay Shandy what she deems you owe her, Elspeth suggested. You're virginal. That's what men often want when searching for a wife.
Most wouldn't believe that, even though it's what Shandy hopes to use to draw the highest bidder for my first time with a man, Selina whispered. I'm a daughter of a harlot. I'd never attract someone with means to pay what Shandy had asked to release me of my debt. Besides, highborn men wouldn't even be permitted to marry me.
I will think of something, Rionwyn said, though she'd already racked her mind trying to discover a way to assist lovely, gentle Selina. Rionwyn's heart despaired in considering how it would change her if Selina was used by lustful or perverse men.
You have your own worries, Rionwyn, Elspeth said.
The king's advisers surely aren't aware you've reached 19 years, well past marrying age, or they'd be insisting you are wed. Women are obliged by law to marry and produce children. I'm to wed in weeks.
You know I don't relish that thought, especially to that obnoxious brute, the sheriff's son, Godric. Sheriff Percival requested it, and my father agreed.
Godric's a despicable bore, Rionwyn tensed even thinking about him.
If I could find a way to see you avoid that too, I would, Elspeth.
I'd like to drag a knife across his throat. That would prevent the wedding.
You mustn't speak those threats aloud, Rionwyn warned. Should anyone hear, you'd be held accountable. Women are expected to be meek and submissive.
Elspeth, if not Godric, they'd only find someone else probably equally displeasing, Selina said. At least he'll have means to provide a home and sustenance. Plus, you'll only have to share one man's bed, and he's not old, ugly, or fat.
Godric doesn't have to be old or physically unattractive to be vile, Elspeth replied. He's mean-spirited, perhaps dangerous. His first wife was found dead on the abbey steps, her neck broken. Elspeth frowned. Some believe she was hoping to seek sanctuary with the monks. If Godric wasn't the sheriff's son, that would have been considered most suspicious. Do you suppose she really fell? They all shared a knowing look, agreeing it was doubtful. They meandered through the village market, where the three met each Saturday afternoon. Liliana joined them less often. Still own
sample complete. Ready to continue?